Blog Talk Radio.
Let me tell you.
You my little blue thing, so I don't give a hoot what you do, say girl, I know. You a little blue thing, I'll be shooting that shot like 2K, girl, I know. Tell him I'm next. Tell him you find a little something fresh, I know. Tell him I'm next. Tell him you find a little something fresh, I know. Put a little gold in the teeth and the finger, so I took the doors off the deep, okay. I see a brother holding your seat, no beef, but I'm trying to get to know you at least. Don't take my talking to your own. I can keep it chill like the Kobe and blunt. I'ma keep it real when your man long gone. If you're looking for a friend and you got the wrong song, baby girl, what's good? What's with ya? If you book tonight, that's fiction. I'm outside, no pictures. You want me, go figure. To the back, to the front. You a 10, baby girl, but I'm the one. Hey, to the back, to the front. You a 10, baby girl, but I'm the one. You my little boo thing, so I don't give a hoot what you do, say girl, I know. You a little boo thing. I'll be shooting that shot like 2K, girl, I know. Tell him I'm next. Tell him you find a little something fresh, I know. Tell him I'm next. Tell him you find a little something fresh, I know.
Let me tell you.
You my little boo thing, so I don't give a hoot what you do, say girl, I know. You a little boo thing. I'll be shooting that shot like 2K, girl, I know. Tell him I'm next. Tell him you find a little something fresh, I know. Tell him I'm next. Tell him you find a little something fresh, I know.
Put a little gold in the teeth and the figure, so I took the doors off the deep, okay. I see a brother holding your seat, no beef, but I'm trying to get to know you at least. Don't take my talking to your own. I can keep it chill like the Kobe and blunt. I'ma keep it real when your man long gone. If you're looking for a friend and you got the wrong song, baby girl, what's good? What's with ya? If you book tonight, that's fiction. I'm outside, no pictures. You want me, go figure. To the back, to the front. You a 10, baby girl, but I know I hate.
We'll be right back.
Yes, welcome to the show, everybody. Hello, hello, hello. Happy Saturday to each and every one of you. So, yesterday I talked about The Simpsons and their prediction. A lot of times The Simpsons have predicted a lot of an events that have actually happened. Everything from Donald Trump being president to the Boston Marathon murders by where one individual drove their car through the Boston Marathon race, killing many individuals and injuring others. But what was weird is they predicted it because they showed Homer Simpson doing the exact same thing, but this was done years earlier than the event itself. But it is weird when it comes down to The Simpsons predicting a lot of this stuff. And I got to be honest with you, a lot of it kind of is spooky in a sense, because you would not think that, I mean, honestly, when you think about it, you're like, well, maybe it's coincidental, maybe somebody come up with it, you know. And for some ungodly reason, it all showed up at the same time. And, you know, and it could have been. This stuff is possible. It really is possible. So we're going to talk about The Simpsons. That'll be one of our main subjects today on the show. But before we get into The Simpsons and the predictions of The Simpsons, let's get into something that it's kind of blowing my mind a little bit when we talk about this stuff. And I got to be honest with you, it is Donald Trump and the Republicans. I got to be honest with you. I just have a problem with some of the stuff that they're doing. And I think that people need to be on the lookout for this stuff, because it's getting to the point where it's kind of a dangerous situation with the Republicans. So Donald Trump has now decided to cross the line and get into religion, into what I would call his own religious beliefs, because obviously Donald Trump wants to call himself a Christian, but when you look at it, does a Christian, you know, sleep with, you know, porno stars, and are you paying for sex? Are you preying upon women? Are you becoming a racist bigot? You know, none of that stuff is a Christian way. So what's really odd is that Trump was actually asked to read some scriptures out of the Bible, scriptures out of the Bible, where where he was in an interview, I think it was with Fox News. I can't remember who it was. It was either Fox or MSNBC or one of those stations. But the reporter said, so you read the Bible, what's your favorite verse from the Bible? Or do you have any favorite verses? And he said, well, I don't want to get into it because, you know, and when Donald Trump says stuff like this, that means he doesn't know what to say. He's been caught with his hand in the cookie jar. So in this aspect, this is where Donald Trump does not probably know anything about the Bible. It would be very surprising if he did know something about the Bible, but he doesn't. What Donald Trump does know is that he's going to create a Bible with the American flag on it, which, number one, that's a big no-no when it comes to putting the American flag on a Bible. In the, if you look at the Bible aspect of the Bible itself, and you look back in Old Testament, you'll know that in scriptures it says, you know, not to worship false idols or, you know, any kind of, you know, any kind of icons, anything of that nature. That is, that does include the United States flag. So you're putting the flag on the Bible in rendition of its part of the Bible. So I have a big problem with that. I think it's a big no-no that they should be putting the American flag on the Bible, but Donald Trump did that. And then Donald Trump has put pieces of the Constitution, which he doesn't even give a shit about. You know, it's funny, he would put that in the Bible, his Bible, but he doesn't really care about the Constitution, because one of the things that Donald Trump has been praising about or been boasting about is if he gets elected, he wants to do away with the Constitution and the government. So that tells you, why would he be putting this stuff in a Bible? But then again, that is part of their Project 2025. If you ever looked that up, one of the things about their Project 2025 is to push their religious beliefs on you. So it only makes sense why he would make a Bible, tell people about the Bible, because eventually I'm sure that's the Bible that you have to get in order to go to church. Don't put it past what happens with the Republicans. You know, could you imagine if Donald Trump says you can only read this Bible and you have to buy it from me? Number one, a Bible is not something you purchase. It's something that they give to you. The Bible should be free and not charged like a piece of profit. The Word of God is not for sale. Do you understand that? The Word of God is not for sale. It should be free to the people who want to embrace the Word of God and bring it into their lives. But for some reason, Donald Trump wants to charge people for the words, or what he believes is the words of God. I don't think probably, I wouldn't trust a Bible from that man at all, because you don't even know what he has put in that Bible. You know, everything that he, whatever he's doing, it's screaming Antichrist stuff, it's screaming fascist, it's screaming dictator, you know, it's not a good thing. So the Bible thing with Donald Trump is just an embarrassment to the Republicans anyway. But then again, look at the Republicans, they're embarrassing themselves, because here they are, they're not doing a damn thing in the House of Representatives. They are currently right now as we speak trying to figure out a bill that they want to put together to cut $1.5 million in Social Security. Think about that. Grandma, grandpa, moms, dads, people who rely on Social Security, you're about ready to get your Social Security cut by $1.5 million, which could be 30 to 40% of what you're making, could be 30 to 40% less in the next month or two to come. So think about that when you think about how you want to trust these Republicans. And then again, they complain about border security and border immigration, and then they don't pass a bill that they put together, by the way. It's a bill that they put together and agreed on it, and then they were going to pass it at the last minute, and then Donald Trump spoke and said, don't pass that bill, because I'm running on immigration, and it will not look good if you pass that bill, and it actually will help America. We don't want America to look like they're being helped. We want them to look like they're having issues with immigration, so I can actually run on that. You see what I'm saying? Donald Trump doesn't care about the American people. He only cares about himself. The problem. But I think a lot of brainwashed MAGA people will never understand that, because they're too damn dumb to understand it. I mean, you got to understand, the average IQ for a MAGA person is not very good at all. It's very low on the totem pole for a MAGA person. And I'm not just saying that to be funny. I'm saying it to be the truth, because that's exactly what they're dealing with. That's exactly who they are, man. They're sheep. They're sheep that they believe their shepherd is the false Messiah, and they believe him to be the Messiah to them. But it's not my Messiah. It's not Jesus. Sorry, but that's not. And therefore, I will not support him or that party of the Republicans, because they all scream evil. They all scream Antichrist. The devil, they scream all that stuff wrapped up in one. It's just not a good thing. The Bible thing, oh my God. I just started laughing about that, because thinking that Donald Trump put this Bible thing together. Stephen Colbert. Oh, my God. That guy is funny as shit. He came out and he talked about Trump. Here's what he said.
Thank you, my friends, and you are my friends. Welcome to The Late Show. I'm your host, Stephen Colbert. Today, ladies and gentlemen, we got a rare positive update on one of Trump's thousands of court cases. Yesterday, the judge in the Stormy Daniels hush money case imposed a gag order on Trump. Okay, that's positive, but raises a disturbing question. How do you gag someone who speaks out of their ass? Yes. The answer is very carefully. And if you ever thought that this avalanche of legal scrutiny would somehow shame Trump from his nonstop grifting of the rubes, you are a sweet, sweet child, one of God's innocents, and should not be allowed in the room where Daddy keeps the sharp things. Because yesterday, Donald Trump announced a deal to endorse a $60 God Bless the USA Bible. Yes! Donald Trump is now hawking a Bible. It's just like any other good book, except in the middle of this one, there's a centerfold. Wow. Wow, Mary was a Bethlehem 8. I wouldn't kick her out of the manger for eating crackers. Now, this has come as no surprise to anyone. Making a profit is Trump's religion. As his Jesus famously said, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle if you pay me 4 easy installments of $19.95. Act now. Disciples are standing by. Trump made this announcement on Truth Social, where he also revealed his collaborator.
I'm proud to be partnering with my very good friend, Lee Greenwood. Who doesn't love his song, God Bless the USA?
Yes, who doesn't love Greenwood's God Bless the USA and his other big hits like Thank You for Blessing the USA, God? You know who really loves that song? Lee Greenwood. He has a different ad for this Bible that says this.
Introducing the limited edition God Bless the USA Bible, inspired by Lee Greenwood's hit song and the most recognized patriotic anthem in America, God Bless the USA.
Yes, I challenge anyone to name a more recognized patriotic anthem in this entire nation. A national sort of anthem, if you will. I kid, of course. We all know it's Party in the USA. Thank you for your service, Miley. Long may you wrecking ball. I believe the God Bless the USA Bible is the best holy scripture named after a country song since the Take This Job and Shove It Bhagavad Gita. Johnny Paycheck did so love shoving things. Trump explained what you'll be getting for your $60.
This Bible is the King James Version and also includes our Founding Father documents, yes, the Constitution, also the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence, and the Pledge of Allegiance.
So you're spending $60 on public domain writing. If you order now, you'll get all the lyrics to Camp Town Races and a picture of Jesus' most beloved disciple, Steamboat Willie. Trump continued to shill.
All Americans need a Bible in their home, and I have many.
Yes. It's true, many. He has to have spare Bibles, because every time he holds one, it bursts into flames. Now, I'm sorry. Do go on.
It's my favorite book. It's a lot of people's favorite book.
I love this book. I love the snake. I love Jonah because, well, I love Abraham dragging his son up to the mountain for a human sacrifice. By the way, Eric, want to go camping? A lot of Bibles on the shelf over here. There's a lot of Bibles on that shelf. Trump was sure to point out how you buying this Bible would single-handedly save America.
This Bible is a reminder that the biggest thing we have to bring back America and to make America great again is our religion,
Now, I know a lot of people think that, but I'm just curious what the hell is going on with that camera angle. That is no way to cover an edit. Jim, what is going on? That is not my best nostril. Now, if you head to the God Bless the USA Bible's website, you can find frequently asked questions. And in there is this 100% real, 100% weird query. What if my Bible has sticky pages? This is a frequently asked question. Evidently, the workers at the Bible factory really get excited over the word begat. Even though it just received the Trump bump, the God Bless the USA Bible has been around for a few years now, and the reviews are in. 79% of reviewers gave it the lowest possible rating, 1 star. The one positive review said, 5 out of 5 stars, sticky, just the way I like them. Trump's not... What's up? What's going on, buddy? Going to be there all night? Trump's not just busy spreading the good news, he's also truthing the dumb news. You see, a few days ago, he bragged, a great honor to have won both the club championship and the senior club championship this week at Trump International. Well, it turns out that Trump didn't win those championships fair and square, and I will give you a moment to pick your jaw up off the floor. Because it turns out sports writer Rick Riley, who has golfed with Trump, says his wins are as fake as Velveeta cheese. How dare you, sir? Velveeta isn't fake. It is full of all natural ingredients, like yellow and rectangle. Riley says golfers, even famous golfers, allow Trump to cheat for one simple reason.
When I've asked people, how did you let him cheat? He cheated against Tiger Woods. He cheated against Dustin Johnson. And when I asked them, why did you let him cheat and take the $20, they all say the same thing. I wanted my own story about Trump cheating.
Okay. Well, then that's understandable, because the only other way to get a story about Trump cheating is to marry him. There's... What? I know. Oh, there's news about former RNC chairperson and drunk sorority girl waving at an oncoming train, Ronna McDaniel. In case you're unfamiliar with McDaniel, she is terrible. As head of the RNC, Ronna repeatedly claimed the 2020 election was rigged, helped Trump's campaign assemble fake electors, and even was on a call with Trump when he pressured election officials not to certify vote totals in a key Michigan county. Happy Women's History Month, gals. It's 2024. You, too, can be morally bankrupt, dictator-enabling douche nuggets. Representation matters. Well, on Friday, we learned that NBC News had hired McDaniel as an on-air contributor. No surprise, people got mad at NBC. Some surprise, NBC got mad at NBC, specifically their anchors.
You got to ask yourself, what does she bring NBC News?
We weren't asked our opinion of the hiring, but if we were, we would have strongly objected to it.
The fact that Ms. McDaniel is on the payroll at NBC News, to me, that is inexplicable.
Don't hire anyone close to the crimes.
Wow. That is strong talk. That is tough stuff. I haven't seen on-air talent rebel like that since Elmo said,
the Alfred P. Sloan Foundation can kiss Elmo's furry butt. So can viewers like you.
NBC anchor Kristen Welker interviewed McDaniel and confronted her about her support of Trump's promise that he will.
And there you go. There's some of the stuff that they were talking about with Donald Trump. You know, I wanted to get into some of that. But so let's get into P. Diddy. P. Diddy. Oh, my God. So P. Diddy was on the loose. Of course, they were trying to find him when the police raided his home. A lot of people are speculating that P. Diddy probably has a lot of problems going on. The one thing I found that I thought was really weird is when, I don't know if anybody's ever saw this video, but it's P. Diddy coming on to, I believe it was Facebook or TikTok or some social media. And this is back when Justin Bieber was only 15 years old. You know, here he has Justin Bieber next to him. Justin Bieber is smiling, but he's smiling very awkwardly, like he's scared. And then P. Diddy, of course, licking his lips, talking about how they were going to have an undisclosed weekend. And everything that he says or does in this video, to me, it screams molestation, pedophile, stuff like that. Even though the P. Diddy did stuff with Usher, I mean, I think Usher even came out and spoke about that. But here, Justin Bieber, only 15 years old, P. Diddy is just off the wall type stuff. So we don't know what exactly P. Diddy is doing, but I believe that he probably has some explaining to do. Here's where P. Diddy was talking to social media with Justin Bieber, only 15, standing next to him. Now, you can't see the video because obviously we're on audio, but Justin Bieber smiles awkwardly and P. Diddy is licking his lips. But
Justin,
here's the audio.
Listen, you ever seen the movie 48 Hours? Right now, he's having 48 hours with Diddy, him and his boy. They're having the times of their lives, like the, you know, where we hanging out and what we doing. We can't really disclose, but it's definitely a 15-year-old's dream. You know, I have been given custody of him. You know, he signed to Usher.
He signed to Usher.
I had legal guardianship of Usher when you know, he did his first album. I did Usher's first album. I don't have legal guardianship of him, but for the next 48 hours, he's with me. So, and we're going to go full, buck full crazy.
We're going crazy.
I mean, everything about it just screams molestation, pedophile bullshit, and I don't know what P. Diddy did with Justin Bieber, but it may explain why Justin Bieber is the way he is, all screwed up with his anger issues and hatred. And I mean, you got to think this is probably stuff that has caused some kind of scarring on Justin Bieber's life. I can only imagine if that's what's going on here. I don't know if it is truly what it is, but there is obviously something odd about this whole thing when it comes to P. Diddy and these young boys. And then basically saying that he's going to have, you know, protection over them, or he was going to be their legal guardians. I mean, that's just awkward shit right there. And then saying you're in an undisclosed location in the next 48 hours under P. Diddy's care of a 15-year-old boy. I mean, Michael Jackson had little kids in his bed and was attacked for being a pedophile. And here we have another 15-year-old with a man who says that, you know, he is basically going to put this young man in a undisclosed location for the next 48 hours. Justin Bieber, on the other hand, looks terrified, in my opinion. If you haven't seen the video, go look it up. P. Diddy talking to about Justin Bieber. It is spooky as shit. It really is.
This was the moment that a 32,000-ton container ship slammed.
So, you know, I mean, it's just what it is. It's one of those things that's just spooky. Spooky. The whole thing is just damn spooky. But I don't know if they found P. Diddy yet or not. I don't know. I haven't really been paying attention to it. But if they haven't found him yet, I'm sure you can look for it. You can go to any orphanage of a boy's home and find P. Diddy hanging out there.
Thank you.
All right, so The Simpsons. The Simpsons, are they predicting future events? And are they prophesizing, and is it being fulfilled today? A lot of people want to know, because there has been really odd moments where The Simpsons have predicted future events or have put it in their cartoon shows, and then years later the prophecies come into reality and are fulfilled. It is spooky. It really is. I don't know. What do you guys think? Do you think The Simpsons actually have some kind of connection with Illuminati or psychic abilities that they're telling you about and we just don't know? Or is it coincidental or is it fate? What do you guys think? But here is some of The Simpsons predictions. Excuse me.
This was the moment that a 32,000-ton container ship slammed into a steel bridge in Baltimore, toppling the structure in a matter of seconds.
The Simpsons, a show celebrated for its animated antics and humor, has astonishingly evolved into a modern-day oracle. Beyond its comedic storylines, this iconic series has left audiences baffled with its eerie knack for predicting real-world events across technology, politics, sports, and entertainment over three decades. The mystery of how it achieved such foresight remains unsolved. Here are 15 shocking Simpsons predictions that became true. Number 15. Faulty voting machines. In a famous episode named Treehouse of Horror 18, which aired in 2007, The Simpsons stepped into the area of political comedy, unwittingly forecasting a significant issue with defective voter machines. The episode depicts Homer's attempt to vote for Barack Obama in the United States presidential election, only to have the computerized voting system constantly change his vote to the Republican candidate, John McCain. One of those electronic voting dealies, one vote for McCain, two votes for McCain, three votes for McCain, six votes for President McCain. Hey, I only meant one of those votes for McCain. What was meant to be a lighthearted remark on the dependability of automated voting systems took on unanticipated significance 4 years later during the 2012 United States presidential election. A viral video from Pennsylvania appeared, mimicking the hilarious scenario that The Simpsons had jokingly imagined. The video shows a polling computer incorrectly moving votes from Barack Obama to his opponent, Mitt Romney. This real-life occurrence sparked significant worry about the electoral process's integrity and the vulnerabilities inherent in computerized voting technologies, inadvertently tapping into an issue that had been received with mistrust. The show jokingly addressed the possible flaws of the emerging system, although a voting machine's forecast of faulty vote tabulation was not improbable. The astonishing parallel between satire and reality piqued people's interest. This fortuitous prediction demonstrated The Simpsons writers' extraordinary ability to foresee complicated technological and sociological quandaries. The episode's discovery is just another proof of The Simpsons' unrivaled ability to transcend ordinary entertainment and interact with genuine reality. Beyond its comic setting, the story sparked serious debate about voting security, technology adoption, and the integrity of election systems. The satirical humor sparked significant conversations that extended well beyond the sphere of satire. Number 14. Donald Trump's presidency. The Simpsons stepped into the world of political forecasting long before it occurred, a stunning tribute to its capacity to foresee future events. The year 2000 marked a key episode in the show's historical history titled Bart to the Future. The Simpsons imaginatively presented the concept of Donald Trump ascending to the presidency of the United States, a concept that would later shift from comedy to reality. Within the episode's surreal reference, Lisa Simpson emerges as an unusual president entrusted with resolving a financial crisis left by her predecessor, President Trump. At the time of the episode's premiere, the daring notion of Donald Trump, the larger-than-life real estate billionaire and reality TV celebrity, contending for and securing the top echelons of American leadership, looked to be a distant speculative possibility. Nonetheless, this animated hypothesis threw an odd shadow into the records of the time. Nearly two decades later, in the fateful year of 2016, the unlikely became definite as Donald Trump declared his campaign and then won the presidency. While The Simpsons avoided the perilous seas of foresight and policy forecasts, it indisputably reflects the zeitgeist of the time, incorporating sarcastic remarks on political figures into its humorous narrative thread. Trump's portrayal as a fictitious president reflected the bombastic outlines of his larger-than-life character and his widespread influence in popular culture. The Simpsons has an uncanny capacity to extract the essence of cultural currents and transform them into enthralling, humorous stories that tickle the collective imagination. The episode used humor to depict the core of Trump's ascension to president without directly anticipating particular events. Surprisingly, this comic picture foretold a real-world event, having a deep and long-lasting influence on both American politics and the global arena. The satirical prism through which the program evaluated Trump's leadership managed to isolate the essential features of his rise to power, providing thought-provoking analysis that went beyond simple prediction. The broadcast offers a unique view into the emerging political scene by emphasizing essential characteristics and processes. Number 13, Tiger Attack on Siegfried and Roy. An episode titled Springfield or How I Learned to Stop Worrying and Love Legalized Gambling, which first aired in 1993 during the fifth season of The Simpsons, included a compelling plot that strangely foretold a real-life occurrence. This episode features a quirky performance with the colorful Las Vegas artists, Gunter and Ernst. The satire, which bears a striking resemblance to the legendary German-American animal trainers Siegfried and Roy, takes a dramatic turn when a white tiger unexpectedly attacks the two during their show. On October 2003, a decade later, reality mimics imagination in a startling confluence. In a live Las Vegas act, Roy Horn, one half of the legendary Siegfried and Roy combination, confronts a devastating attack by a seven-year-old white tiger called Monty Core. The tiger bites Horn's neck and drags him off the stage, with eerie symmetry echoing the portrayed incident from The Simpsons. The strange connections between the fictional plot and the terrible truth strike a chord on many levels. Both events occur on a stage in Las Vegas, with a white tiger lunging during a live performance. The conclusion of the cartoon show indicated the end of Gunter and Ernst's act, whilst the attack on Roy Horn signaled the end of Siegfried and Roy's distinguished career. This confluence of events unavoidably raises interesting concerns about the foresight of The Simpsons. While the series may have just capitalized on a plausible risk linked with animal trainers, the remarkable parallel between the fictitious scenario and the real-world catastrophe cannot be overlooked. The show's proclivity for eerily precise forecasts adds another dimension to its notoriety, stoking debate about its remarkable ability to foretell future events. The traumatic aftermath of the tiger attack would permanently change the course of Siegfried and Roy's historical adventure. Despite the episode's intended goal of humorous exaggeration, their enthralling blend of magic and exotic animal acts, which was once a staple of the Las Vegas scene, gave way to the sobering reality of Roy Horn's injuries and subsequent partial paralysis. The clash of art and life is poignant, as a frivolous story echoes in the gloomy halls of reality. Number 12. Underwater Emergency. The tenacious spirit of adventure takes the ever-charming Homer Simpson into the depths of a thrilling underwater excursion in a memorable episode of The Simpsons, Season 17, Episode 10, titled Homer's Paternity Coot. A tale that unknowingly mimics real-world occurrences, the episode begins with Homer trapped in a web of family intrigue. A common thirst for knowledge leads the pair into the enthralling depths of the ocean, each in their own submersible craft. Their mission, to discover secret wealth under the waters, buried within the confines of a sunken vessel named Piso Mojado. This courageous aquatic adventure, however, eventually runs into turbulent seas of its own. Homer's ship becomes entangled in a coral maze, trapping him in an immobilizing embrace. As the anxiety increases, the air he breathes becomes a perilous lifeline, with oxygen levels teetering on the verge of collapse. Homer's brave attempts against the sea's inexorable hold are quickly overpowered by oblivion. The Simpsons episode meets with a painful occurrence from the world outside the animated realm, and the unsettling congruence between fiction and reality takes center stage. A collective scream of recognition resounded among viewers in June 2013, when the episode's undersea ordeal bore startling parallels to a terrifying real-life tragedy. As the dust cleared in the real world, an alarming occurrence involving an OceanGate submersible embarked on a daring journey to uncover the ghostly ruins of the Titanic resting in the embrace of the Atlantic had occurred. The submarine set off on its journey with an estimated inventory of 96 hours worth of life-sustaining oxygen, carrying five passengers who shared a common desire for exploration. However, fate intervened and cut off touch with the submersible as the vessel sank below the depths. The world held its breath, spreading a shroud of suspense that lasted for days. The stage drama of Homer's undersea adventure unwittingly reflects the heart-wrenching fears felt by people awaiting word on the fate of the OceanGate submersible. Number 11. Greece Economic Collapse. In the year 2012, an episode called Politically Inept with Homer Simpson expertly went into the domain of financial disasters, especially Greece's terrible economic collapse. In a remarkable combination of amusement and economic expertise, this episode expertly blended comedy with keen economic understanding, demonstrating the show's capacity to deliver both amusement and intellectual stimulation. Within the episode, a typically wacky sequence occurs when Homer Simpson appears on the screen of a television show. A scrolling ticker at the bottom of the screen, in a smart twist, draws viewers' attention with the headline, "Europe puts Greece on eBay." This seemingly lighthearted and flippant remark hides its greater significance as it humorously highlights the dire reality of Greece's poor economic situation just a few years previously. The context for this amusing yet thought-provoking comment was Greece's financial catastrophe. Several years after this episode, the country discovered a massive budget deficit, which had swelled to more than four times the European Union's approved level, was the first crack in Greece's financial stability facade. This foreboding revelation signaled the start of a prolonged economic crisis characterized by high unemployment, social discontent, and a cycle of recurrent bailout interventions. Number 10. Richard Branson in Space. In the enthralling episode, The War of Art, The Simpsons masterfully weaved a narrative that deviates beyond the world of space exploration. As the story progresses, a provocative examination of creative authenticity and moral complexity takes center stage. In contrast to its funny jokes, the episode interjects an interesting sequence showcasing Richard Branson, the visionary entrepreneur, submerged in the weightless tranquility of a spacecraft while appreciating his selected art collection. This enticing image of Branson's weightless contemplation within the confines of a spaceship is an unexpected sight to see. Notably, the episode makes an unintentional yet significant reference to current events. Richard Branson's bold ambition of spaceflight came true in 2021 when he embarked on a momentous mission on board one of his Virgin Galactic spaceships. Branson's entrance into space was widely anticipated, with the visionary's firm, Virgin Galactic, resolutely seeking the start of commercial space operations by 2023. While this episode's depiction of Branson's zero-gravity reverie may appear to be a foreshadowing, a closer look reveals an intriguing dynamic at work. The Simpsons authors were driven by the prevalent cultural debate around Branson's extravagant space project. By the time this episode aired in 2014, Virgin Galactic had already grabbed significant attention and headlines in 2011. As a result, the inclusion of Branson's cosmic contemplation in the episode is a realistic reflection of the inevitable march of advancement and invention. Number 9. Smartwatches and video calls. In episodes of The Simpsons, images of a futuristic society frequently appear, providing a tantalizing look into prospective technological marvels. Among this colorful vision, two major forecasts jump out: the introduction of smartwatches and the widespread usage of video calls. Viewers are taken to a universe where Lisa Simpson's engagement to an Englishman called Hugh unfolds in a 1995 episode titled Lisa's Wedding, which provides a 15-year jump into the future. A fascinating device takes center stage in this possible future: a wristwatch that smoothly doubles as a phone. This gadget, which is uncannily similar to modern smartwatches, elegantly combines traditional timekeeping with technological functionality, such as communication, texting, and health monitoring. Once only figments of the mind, these wearable wonders have now evolved into necessary everyday companions for countless people all over the world. Apple and Samsung have given this once fanciful notion new life, converting it into a practical and fast actionable reality. Surprisingly, The Simpsons foresaw the pervasive rise of video conversations nearly a decade before Apple's innovative FaceTime introduction in 2010 or the soaring popularity of Skype. Characters in the same Lisa's Wedding episode have real-time talks via large displays that seamlessly connect them beyond distance. This remarkable depiction of video communication was more than just a passing aesthetic vision. It foretold a communication environment that was about to become a reality. Video chats have moved beyond novelty and into our personal and professional lives. From family reunions to corporate conventions, they span geographical divisions, decreasing our world while boosting our ties. Notably, during the COVID-19 epidemic, video chats became an even more important tool for work, learning, and social bonding, strengthening their critical importance. Number 8. Lady Gaga's Super Bowl Halftime Show. Art frequently takes on the persona of life, and in an odd twist, there are times when life appears to imitate art. A 2012 episode of The Simpsons titled Lisa Goes Gaga previewed Lady Gaga's awe-inspiring Super Bowl halftime concert 5 years later. In an uncanny coincidence, in the aforementioned episode, the iconic pop superstar Lady Gaga entered the fictional realm of Springfield, intending to lift the community's spirits with a lavish show. The vignette began with Gaga doing dazzling acrobatic feats, soaring above the crowd with the help of wires, all while oozing her signature flamboyance. This cartoon extravaganza was a type of foreshadowing. In 2017, Lady Gaga's stunning presence took center stage as the featured performer for the Super Bowl 2017 halftime show. In a dazzling start, Gaga appeared to defy gravity by suddenly flying over the ceiling of Houston's NRG Stadium, held up by suspension wires. This breathtaking flying demonstration resembled her previous cartoon counterpart's Springfield performance. While Lady Gaga's Super Bowl performance differed from the Simpsons version, the undeniable echo of the aerial aspect garnered notice. This strange synchronicity heightened the concept of the Simpsons' allegedly prophetic plots. Despite the fact that the relationship could easily be attributed to Lady Gaga's natural theatricality, the Simpsons have evolved as a peculiar touchstone in the complicated interplay between art and reality, creating a shadow of anticipation that occasionally corresponds with emerging events. Number 7. God Particle. In the 1998 episode, The Wizard of Evergreen Terrace, The Simpsons moved beyond its humorous limits in a fascinating dive into the domain of particle physics. This episode, which appeared to be unconnected to scientific investigation, had a faint but foreshadowing reference to what would ultimately be known as the God Particle. Within the animated story, the legendary character Homer Simpson finds himself absorbed in a flurry of difficult mathematical calculations, carving them onto a chalkboard. One of these complicated symbols foreshadows the mass of the Higgs boson particle, often known as the God Particle in popular culture. In the year 2012, reality unfolds with astounding symmetry. CERN, the European Organization for Nuclear Research, scientists gleefully announced the finding of the elusive Higgs boson particle. The Higgs boson emerged as a vital component in the history of particle physics, clarifying the perplexing mechanism by which particles gain mass. Although scientist Leon Lederman coined the phrase God Particle in the 1990s, the illusion contained within an episode of The Simpsons garnered notice due to its later connection with a major scientific discovery. The cartoon reference to the Higgs boson particle, hidden within an episode about Homer's scientific ambitions, exemplifies the show's remarkable ability. While the episode may not have focused on the complexities of particle physics, this subtle connection is a powerful tribute to the show's broad understanding of science and culture. In a mesmerizing confluence of comedy and foresight, The Simpsons finds itself poised on the brink of discovery once more, delivering a delicate view into the future while weaving it into the fabric of entertainment. Number 6.
FIFA Scandal.
In the world of sports, The Simpsons once again showed their foresight with a 2014 episode titled, You Don't Have to Live Like a Referee, which delves into the issue of corruption inside FIFA, the worldwide governing organization for soccer. The plot centered around Homer Simpson's unlikely time as a World Cup referee, a role that led him unwittingly to uncover a vast bribery network involving high-ranking officials. Surprisingly, a year later in 2015, reality echoed satire when a genuine FIFA corruption crisis shook the soccer world. In a shocking turn of events, the United States Department of Justice indicted a number of key FIFA executives on charges ranging from racketeering to fraud and money laundering. This real-world disaster exposed FIFA's ingrained culture of corruption, in which covert techniques like bribes and kickbacks were routinely deployed. While The Simpsons' depiction of the issue used hyperbole and satire for humorous purposes, the foresight in tackling FIFA corruption before it was publicly publicized cannot be underestimated. This demonstrates the show's capacity to recognize and incorporate relevant social topics and conflicts into its narrative weave. Aside from the laughs, the episode successfully used satire to raise attention to the possibility of corruption inside the high-stakes world of sports organizations, particularly ones as prominent and globally reaching as FIFA. Furthermore, the story provided a humorous representation of the growing public knowledge and scrutiny focused on FIFA's procedures, which would soon be exposed on a worldwide scale. This exemplified The Simpsons' function as an entertainment medium, as well as a cultural barometer, capturing, and even foreshadowing, current events of the period. Now it's time for today's subscriber pick, the incident involving the MV Dolly and its collision with the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore on March 27, 2024, is indeed a significant event. This tragic accident led to the collapse of part of the bridge into the Patapsco River, prompting a swift response from emergency services. In the aftermath of such incidents, it's not uncommon for various rumors and theories to circulate, particularly on social media. One such rumor involves the long-running animated TV show The Simpsons, which is famously known for its uncanny predictions of future events. According to some claims, The Simpsons had previously aired an episode predicting this exact incident. However, it's important to approach these claims with skepticism.
All right, there you go. So it is weird to think that that's what they do, but But definitely something is happening with the Simpsons and these uncanny predictions. Maybe one day we'll figure it out. Let's keep an eye on the Simpsons to figure out what's coming up next. Some 2024 predictions that came in from the Simpsons is this. They are predicting that Donald Trump would be in jail, and another one depicts him dying, being dead. So it's kind of weird, man, that is this something that's coming around the corner? Who the hell knows? But we're going to have to keep our eyes open for this and start paying attention to The Simpsons, because if this shit's becoming real, time to, you know, keep our guard up and find out what it is. Obviously, there's something out there, whether it's the Illuminati or whoever it is, but there's something going on. I don't know. I can only say that that's what I would speculate. All right. With that said, this is the end of the show. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. Come see us Sunday at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where we will be here, Paul Alexander and myself, to discuss MAGA and Republicans. You know, Donald Trump's Bible verses. Well, does he have any favorite Bible verses? We're going to find that out as well. All this and more coming up on Sunday. You don't want to miss it because we have some breaking news as well that we want to get to. Some surprise news to get to. But we will discuss it on Sunday. You don't want to miss out on it. It all begins at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And so you don't want to miss out on that. Again, I'm Jerry Williams, and this is All About Politics. So have a good night, everybody. Have a safe Saturday. Make sure if you're going to drink and drive, don't drink and drive. Make sure if you drink, you get an Uber or Lyft or a taxi cab. But do not ever drink and drive. It's too dangerous to do that. And it can really screw your life up, guys. Don't do it. And so that's my PSA for you on drinking and driving. So there you go. Everyone, really have a blessed weekend and happy Easter to you. I know if I don't hear from you on Sunday, make sure you have a happy Easter and a safe Easter weekend. And remember that it is all about Jesus and the resurrection of Jesus. It's not about Easter bunnies. It's not about, you know, it's not about the Easter bunnies or candies or eggs or anything of that nature. It is all about the one and true Savior, Jesus Christ. He died on the cross for our sins. He was resurrected. He came back to life, fulfilled his whole body in scriptures. And when I say filled the scriptures, that means he prophesied it. And then he rose to heaven, only to be coming back in the near future. So just keep that in mind, that regardless of Donald Trump selling you a Bible on Jesus, you don't need it. Go get you a free Bible, because it's the real true scriptures that you need. And, you know, when it boils down to it, by the time you look at it, by the way, one thing that somebody actually saw was when you buy Donald Trump's Bible on the internet, get this, check this out. It equals 66.6 by the time you get the tax and everything on there. It's 666.6. I mean, that's not good when it's the devil signs, right? It's bad. Antichrist stuff, that's what we're talking about here. So remember, spend time with your family on this weekend. Remember that Easter is about Jesus Christ and the resurrection of Jesus. So let's celebrate his life and coming back and redeeming all of us for our sins. And if you haven't asked Jesus to come into your life, ask him to come into your life and make him your Lord and Savior. You will feel better knowing that he is in your life. With that said, I'm going to leave you with this song. So Have a good night, everybody. Here's Kirk Franklin.
One of my favorites. Spend to respect, respect in every aspect and special consideration. God bless
night,
anything that's in the name of Jesus Christ in the midst of every time. No, I'm the Muslim and all the crew. Remember, so the end of no for Jesus Christ. Lift them high. I'm not the earth of Christ. Bust the place. Bust the place. No, no, no. But, yeah.
This song right here is dedicated to all my people that felt like giving up. And you didn't think you was gonna make it.
Bless it all the time.
Check it out, y'all.
I didn't know you'd go. Out of the place.
Get up.
Yeah.
Get up. Get up.
Put your dope,
Papa time, y'all.
Bust the place, no.